Life is a series of decisions, and the choices we make determine the life we will live. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about life's greatest decisions.
Let me encourage you to be the kind of a man whose direction is not questioned but is known, that you're not ashamed of Jesus Christ, that you are on the Lord's side, and that when it comes to decisions of your entertainment or your family direction or friendships, that you will make those decisions based upon the fact, will it be known by this decision that I am on the Lord's side?
The road to spiritual maturity is paved with life-changing decisions. In our series, Life's Greatest Decisions, we will discover practical ways to apply God's principles to our everyday lives. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Life is made up of more decisions than we can count, but God desires to give us the wisdom we need to make the right choices. Through today's scriptures, we will be equipped to make choices that bring honor to God and peace to our hearts. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Deciding to Forgive.
And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren. He told it to his brethren. So notice in the second place, he had faith to recite God's revelation. Not only to receive it, but he had faith to recite God's revelation. Now, folks, get this in your mind. He's a 17-year-old boy. He receives God's revelation. Now he's going to go tell his older brothers, here was his dream. My dream is that one day all of you are going to come and you are going to pay obeisance to me. You are going to bow down to me. Now, how many of you would agree with me this morning that if it took faith to receive that dream, it was going to take a bunch of faith to recite that dream? To go to your older brothers and say, guess what, guys? One day you're all going to bow down to me. How many of you can understand that that would have taken a little bit of nerve and a whole lot of faith for Joseph to recite his message? I want you to know something. Every time a preacher of God's word stands and proclaims the word of God, it is by faith that God will take the message of this book and touch somebody's heart. Every time a Christian opens the word and shares with their children or shares with someone at work about Jesus Christ, it is by faith that God's going to do something with this message to touch someone's heart and to change someone's life. I heard the story of a preacher who stood up and he had given kind of a long, dry sermon for his message. And at the end of the message, he said, I'd like to meet with all of the church board following the church service today. Well, as he was standing in a room waiting for the folks to arrive, there came a man in the room who was a stranger to the pastor. The pastor said, sir, I think you misunderstood my announcement. I intended for the church board to come in for this meeting today. And the man looked at the pastor and said, I know what your announcement was, sir, but if there's anyone here more bored than I am, I'd like to meet him. Now, we pray that when we give the word of God, it will not fall on deaf or bored ears, but that by faith, this book is alive and it will touch hearts and it will make a difference. You see, in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, Paul said, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. And so Joseph said, hey, this might not make my brothers happy, but I'm going to stand up and tell them what God said. And there will be some times in the life of every preacher and every Christian for that matter, when you'll say something from the Bible and it might not make somebody happy, but we must say what the Bible says. That was the faith of Joseph. He had faith to receive it. He had faith to recite it. Many of you have been born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. By faith you have received it. The question is, have you recited it? Have you shared it with this lost and dying world? So here we see the decision that Joseph made at a very young age to have faith in God and to have faith in the Word of God. Notice his second decision this morning was a decision to be faithful to God. It was a decision to be faithful to God. You see, integrity is the ability to keep a decision even when the circumstances that were in place when you made that decision have changed. And so Joseph was a man who believed God when everything was fine as a kid at home. But we're going to see in a moment that the circumstances with which he was surrounded when that decision was made, those circumstances are going to change. And here's the question, class. Will Joseph change or will he stay true to his God? When tough times come, when you lose your job, when you have health problems, when someone in the church disappoints you, when all these things come upon you, are you going to still then be faithful to God? This is the question in Joseph's life. Now notice, the Bible is very clear that Joseph was a faithful man. You'll see this in a moment. And I want to ask you this question as we consider the subject of faithfulness for a moment. How do you count someone a success? What do you consider in your life success to be? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, "Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful." I believe that God's definition of success is faithfulness. A man or a woman who through time and years will be faithful to him is someone that is successful in the biblical economy of success. But I want you to stop and think about it. Sometimes what we think is success, and sometimes as we sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate, we find ourselves going up a ladder, so to speak, only to realize that what really was important was neglected. And I'm simply saying that Joseph was a man who was faithful to God throughout all the seasons of his life. He realized that he could be faithful to God when times were bad, and when times were good, he was faithful to God. Now, I want you to learn about this with me this morning. I want you to remember the Bible does not say it is required of stewards that a man be found successful. The Bible says it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. And I want you to see that this man, Joseph, was a faithful man, faithful to his God. Notice a couple of times in his life when this was seen. Chapter 37 and verse 11. He was faithful when he was betrayed by his brethren. The Bible says in chapter 37 and verse 11, "And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying." Here we see that Joseph's brethren begin to envy him. They begin literally to hate his dreams and to hate him. The Bible says, "Then they persecuted him." Chapter 37, verse 20. "Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." You know this story, how they take Joseph and how they throw him into a pit. How they take the blood of an animal and put it on the coat of many colors. They bring it back to Jacob and they say, "Jacob, Joseph has died. He was attacked by a wild beast." They had a well-laid plot. Here we see the betrayal of Joseph by his brethren. Then we see that he was faithful to God when he was sold by his brethren. The Bible says in chapter 37 and verse 27, "Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh." And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Here we see that they sell their brother into slavery. The Bible tells us later in verse 36 that he was then sold in Egypt to a ruler by the name of Potiphar, and that he lived in Potiphar's house. I'm telling you, my friend, here was a man who, because of his faith in God and because he was willing to tell his dream, here was a man who was persecuted. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." In this day when many Christians want to sort of blend in with the world and laugh at the world's jokes and just kind of act like there's nothing different in our life, Joseph was a man who said, "No, I've got something on my heart that I must share." And because he shared it, he was persecuted and he was ridiculed by his own family. I want you to see, though, that this man, through all of that, never got a bad attitude, never gave up on God, never blamed God, but he was faithful to God. I don't know about you, but I pray that I might have this measure of faithfulness in my life through good times, through bad times, to be faithful to God. We see that he made a decision to have faith in God. Joseph made a decision to be faithful to God. Listen to me very carefully. That decision is not a decision you'll make just once in your life, because the trials will keep on coming and the challenges from work will keep on coming. You'll have to make that decision to be faithful over and over and over again, as Joseph did. Thank God he was faithful. Notice thirdly, though, the decision to forgive by the grace of God. The decision to forgive by the grace of God. Now, here we come to the crux of the matter when it pertains to Joseph's character. And according to Joseph's original dream, his brothers would come to him one day for help. They would seek his assistance. And the Bible tells us that they came two different times. The first time was in chapter 42. Let's notice there in verse number 7. The Bible says, "And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and they spake roughly, unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him." Now Joseph, as you know, rose to a position of authority in Egypt. He was over the care of all of the grain and food in Egypt. Because of his wisdom, he had caused them to save up much grain for the time of famine. When the famine came, those who were living in Canaan began to find themselves in great need. And so Jacob says to his sons, "Go to Egypt and buy food for our family." Here come the sons into Egypt. Lo and behold, the one that they will approach for the food is none other than their brother Joseph. Now, when they come into Joseph's presence, the Bible says that they did not know this was Joseph. 20 years have come and gone. His appearance perhaps was different. Perhaps he had become somewhat Egyptianized, if you will, in his costume and in his mannerisms. Whatever the case, Joseph was able to not reveal his identity unto them. The Bible tells us then that Joseph sends them away. And when he sends them away, he says, "I want you to come back again and bring our younger brother Benjamin with you." Now notice, if you will, in chapter 45, beginning in verse number 1, the second time he comes, chapter 45, verse 1. "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, Cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life." Here we see on the second occasion of their visit that Joseph makes the greatest decision of his life. Undoubtedly, he had made it years prior, but now he reveals it to his brethren. That is, letter A, he forgave his brothers. Joseph forgave his brothers. And in forgiving them, he shows three things. He shows, first of all, the grace of God. I want you to notice his forgiveness in verse number 5. The Bible says, "Be not grieved nor angry with yourselves." Here we see that Joseph was showing to them grace. My friend, let me remind you of what grace is. It is undeserved favor. You know, Joseph's brothers deserved a good scolding. Joseph's brothers perhaps deserved more than that. But Joseph showed grace to them. In fact, the first time that his brothers came, back in chapter 42, Joseph not only gave them grain, but he put their money back in their sacks. He gave them a free ride, if you will. Why? Because of the grace in his heart. By the way, how many of you are thankful that Jesus, like Joseph, gives you and gives me by grace the forgiveness of our sin? That's exactly what Jesus offers. And so Joseph, by grace, forgave them. He shows them undeserved favor. Notice, secondly, he shows them the purpose of God in their lives and in his life. He shows them the purpose of God. Verse 7, notice what it says. "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Here, Joseph says, listen, God had me here in Egypt so that I could preserve our entire family. He says God had a purpose for this. And my friend, I don't know what dastardly thing someone has done to you. I don't know what trial you may have experienced in your life, but I know this, that if you'll turn to the Lord today and seek His face, He will reveal a reason to you. He will show you that He is always at work, and that even through difficult circumstances, God has a purpose. And Joseph had matured to the point that instead of being bitter, Joseph got better. And Joseph was able to say, my God had a reason for this trial. And he shares that reason with his brothers. Romans 8:28 says, and we know, not and we think, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to His purpose. And so Joseph reveals the grace of God, and Joseph reveals the purpose of God. And then notice thirdly, Joseph shows the forgiveness of God. The forgiveness of God. Turn, if you would, to chapter 50 for a moment. Here we see his family relations continuing to develop. Chapter 50 and verse 15. This is after Jacob has now died. The Bible says in Genesis 50:15, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. By the way, let me pause here. It's amazing how that people always assume others will treat them the way they would treat them in the same circumstance. Their consciences were guilty. They said, Joseph's going to kill us now that dad is dead. But verse 16, and they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before we died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Joseph wept because of a heart of compassion. Joseph wept because of a heart of love. It was not in Joseph's heart to kill his brethren. It was not in Joseph's plan to get revenge on his brethren. It was in his heart to forgive them. And again, I say to you this morning, it is in the heart of God to forgive you of your rebelliousness and your perversion and your wickedness and your waywardness and your drugs and your alcohol and all the rest of it. God is not standing up in heaven with a stick to beat you down. The Bible says, if we will confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Joseph said, I'm not mad at you. I love you. My friend, God is not mad at you. He loves you today, and He wants to forgive you and draw you back unto Himself. This is what Joseph shows us, the forgiveness of God. He forgave his brothers. Now listen very carefully. Why did he forgive his brothers? How did he forgive his brothers? Here's why, and here's how. Because Joseph did not focus on his brother's wrongdoing. Joseph focused on the purpose of God. On the purpose of God. Now I want you to see this with me. Notice, if you will, in Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 20. This is the crux of the story here. And what a great verse this is. Genesis 50, 20. But as for you, speaking to his brothers, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto, what's it say, class? He says to his brothers, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph saw the heavenly perspective. He said that God meant this for good. Sometimes the deep hurts of our lives, sometimes the deep disappointments of our lives are allowed by God, not necessarily brought about by God, but allowed by God. All of the fiery trials are Father filtered. And God will allow the trials of our lives so that we might find His perspective on life, so that we might look to Him for an answer. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Joseph had a heavenly perspective. Listen, just a moment. Why don't you stop thinking about that person that hurt you and that guy that fired you and that situation that bothers you? And why don't you look up to the Lord this morning and say, Lord, I don't know what you had in that, but I pray that you'll make me a better person because of that. Amen. Not a bitter person, but a better person. Lord, I pray that you'll give me the freedom that you want me to have from that. And then notice, not only did he have a heavenly perspective, but notice secondly, he met an earthly need. He met an earthly need. Verse 21, notice that in chapter 50. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Now, one of the great signs of Joseph's greatness was his ability to endure without resentment. I'm going to say that again. Joseph was a great man because he endured without resentment. How many of you believe that America, in many places today, is an angry land? Some of you don't believe that. Just get on the freeway tomorrow. America has a lot of resentment. Joseph was a great man because he endured hardships, but he never got bitter. He never got filled up with resentment. Joseph could have been a jumpy, resentful man by this time in his life, but he was a graceful, forgiving man. Why? Because he was trusting that God meant it for good. God meant it for good. Would you say that with me this morning? God meant it for good. Now then, even as Joseph was rejected of his own, Jesus Christ, more than 2,000 years ago, was rejected of his own. He was tempted, he was tried, yet he never sinned. Yet Jesus Christ died upon the cross, the nails through his hands, the nail through his feet, the crown of thorns upon his head. And I suppose he could have been resentful. I suppose he could have resented every one of us because it was our sin that was upon him that day. But he didn't. And if you would take time to study the seven sayings of the cross, you would be reminded that one of those sayings was this: Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. If you're here this morning having trouble showing forgiveness, it might be that you've never received his forgiveness. It might be that you need to receive Jesus as your personal Savior this morning. I heard about an attorney this past week who had a lot of people that owed him past accounts. He had a host of people. In fact, there were 17 clients that owed him money from 6 months and longer. This attorney was reading, though, the Bible one day, and he was studying some different scriptures, and God put on his heart that he should forgive the debts of those 17 clients. And so the attorney drafted a letter explaining his decision and the biblical basis for it. He sent a letter canceling the debt of those 17 clients who had owed him money for 6 months or longer. Those letters were sent via certified mail, but something strange happened. One by one, those letters began to be returned, unsigned and undelivered. The attorney thought, well, maybe some of these folks have moved. But 16 of the 17 letters were returned, unsigned and undelivered. 16 of the 17 came back because the clients refused to sign for the envelopes, fearing that the attorney was suing them for their debt. How profound. How many people today who owe a debt for the sin of their life, a debt that they cannot pay with their own works because all of our righteousness is as filthy rags? How many people in America, how many people in this Antelope Valley today owe a sin debt that they cannot pay, and God has sent to them a certified love letter called the Bible, and if they would just open it, it would tell them they are forgiven, but they are afraid of opening the Word of God, and so they send it back. They say no to the invitation. They say, I'm sick of religion. The church is a bunch of hypocrites. Whatever their reasoning, they don't open the book, and they never know the joy of being forgiven. My friend, don't send this message back today. God loves you, and he forgives you, and he wants to have fellowship with you even today. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for this man, Joseph, who made such great decisions. And I pray that you'd help us to make wise decisions in our life. Help us especially in that area of forgiveness, that we would forgive our husbands and wives, and that we would forgive those that have trespassed against us. And I want to ask you, Lord, if there's anyone here today that has never understood the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, that on this day, that they would turn their hearts to you, Lord, that they would ask you to forgive their sin and be their Savior.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Sometimes it can be hard to tell what makes Christian college valuable to you. When you consider a college, it's important to receive instruction from an institution and leaders that share your values and convictions. West Coast Baptist College is a four-year Bible college dedicated to training men and women for a life of ministry in local churches around the world. If you are interested in Bible college, or if you know of someone who is, visit our website today at wcbc.edu or text 661-430-5300.
This broadcast is a listener-supported program that exists because of prayers and donations from people just like you. If you make a donation to Daily in the Word, Pastor Chappell would like to send you a copy of his newest book, Paid in Full, as a thank you for your support of our ministry. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.